Hello, and welcome to the Live and Teach Guitar podcast, episode 18. This is a podcast for guitar teachers wanting to start or grow their guitar teaching business. In this episode, I'm going to explain how you can run various little tests or experiments to make improvements in different aspects of your guitar teaching business. The reason why I recommend guitar teachers run tests is because the results can give you valuable information you can use to gain new students or even to improve the quality inside your lessons. As I talk to more and more guitar teachers, it's becoming clearer that conventional wisdom when it comes to teaching guitar or attracting new students usually isn't the best approach. In fact, sometimes conventional wisdom is just flat out wrong. The only way to find out what is the best approach is to run tests. So to help you make better decisions in and outside of your lessons, I'll explain how to run tests to work out the best approach in any situation. Sometimes the results will confirm what you're already doing, while other times it will point to a better option. To understand why tests are so useful, I'll give you a simple example of an experiment I ran recently to test the effectiveness of flyers. The type of message you have on your flyer makes a big difference on how effective it will be. That should be obvious, but this experiment was to find out what type of message would be effective. I wanted to test different options such as offering a free first lesson, displaying the cost or not displaying it, offering discounts, the type of images used, and other small details. I created 6 different versions of the flyer to test these different aspects. The aim of this test was to find out whether something like offering a free first lesson would be more effective than a discount, or whether the image makes a big difference. The first lot of flyers I sent out was what's called the control. It's a basic flyer to set the benchmark for all the other flyers. It contained basic information along with a phone number and a website address. I sent out 500 flyers and waited a week. By the end of the week, I received exactly 0 inquiries. Not exactly the response I was hoping for, but it was the response I expected. Not because the flyer wasn't compelling, but because 500 flyers isn't really enough to expect much response. So, after another week, I sent out another 500 flyers to the same homes I sent the first 500 to. This was the exact same flyer, and the test was to see whether sending out flyers multiple times to the same people would be effective. This time, within a week, I received 4 inquiries, which led to 3 new students. That's a massive difference in results. It's also an important lesson. The reason the second lot of flyers were more effective, even though they were exactly the same, is because they reinforced the message from the first lot. In advertising, this is called frequency. It's the reason you see the same ads over and over on TV. The more times an ad is displayed, the more likely you will remember it or take action on it. Quite often when I talk to guitar teachers about marketing, they claim that they've tried everything and nothing works. They say that they've sent out flyers, put up posters, spent money on Facebook ads and so on. But when I dig deeper, it usually turns out that they only had one attempt on each method, similar to sending out one lot of flyers and giving up after not receiving a response. It's also why in the first podcast episode, I highly recommend people to stick to only one marketing method, because you need to spend time learning it inside and out before you can expect it to start performing properly. That's also what testing and experimenting is for. If I didn't send out the second lot of flyers, I would have mistakenly concluded that the design and the message of the flyer wasn't effective. So back to the test, I continued to send out different designs and messages to different areas, and here are 2 interesting results. First, when it came to offering a free first lesson, I ended up gaining less students. I received more inquiries and even had 4 students book in a first lesson, but out of those 4 free lessons, I only gained 1 new student. The conventional wisdom says that it's good practice to offer a first free lesson, as it gives you the opportunity to demonstrate the value in lessons. In reality, all it does is draw attention from people who want something for nothing. If a person is serious about learning guitar, you shouldn't need to offer them a free lesson to entice them to book lessons in. So the result from this test is that offering a free first lesson only encourages people who aren't serious about learning guitar. The second result I found interesting was whether I displayed the cost of lessons on the flyer or not. The typical advice you'll see is to hold that information back so the person needs to call you to find it out. The reasoning is that when they call you to find out your rate, you have the opportunity to sell the benefits of your lessons. You may have even been told that when somebody asks what your rate is, you shouldn't give it straight away. You should first explain the value in your lessons and then at the end mention your rate. All of this sounds very logical, but the test I ran says otherwise. The flyers I sent out that had the lesson cost printed on them received less total inquiries over the flyers without the cost, but I gained more students. It's also worth mentioning that for every single inquiry from the flyers displaying the cost, every single one of them turned into new students. That's a huge difference. So why would the flyers with the cost be more effective? There could be a number of different reasons why, but I feel the main reason is that when you hide your cost, people usually know that to find that information out, they will have to go through your sales pitch, similar to what happens when you want to find out how much a gym membership will cost. By displaying your price up front, you're standing by your rate. The people who contact you after already seeing your price have basically already decided that they're happy to pay that rate, so you should expect far better results from each inquiry. On the other hand, if they haven't heard your rate, they're more likely to and say, "I'll think about it," after talking to you. It should be clear by now why taking the time to run this test was worthwhile. Instead of assuming I should offer a free first lesson or hide my lesson rates, like the typical advice goes, I could see whether those assumptions would help me or hinder me. Now I know what type of flyer will give me the best results and why sending flyers out more than once to the same area is also important. That's what testing and experimenting does. It gives you useful information you can use to make better decisions as a guitar teacher. They also test your assumptions and give you useful information you can act on. At this point, you should start to think about what assumptions you're making in and outside your lessons, which could be affecting your results. This is really hard to do and requires you to be really honest with yourself. Making assumptions about your lesson rates, marketing, or even the type of exercises you give your students happens all the time, and left unchecked, they could become problems. You might think that your post or a website is doing a great job, but unless you run tests, you'll never know for sure if that's true or not. Now that I've explained why you should run tests, using flyers as an example, I'll explain a different area you should consider running experiments on. This will help you understand why you should look at every aspect of your guitar teaching business and how it can affect your results. I highly recommend people spend time running tests or experiments on their website because it can give you incredible results. The main reason why you should spend time and effort on your website is because you can always make improvements and get better results. I've only seen a handful of guitar teacher websites out of hundreds that could be considered effective. In other words, there's a lot of room for improvement for most guitar teachers. If you have listened to past episodes, you will know by now that setting up a few pages and putting some information together on it isn't anywhere enough to get the good results that you want. The most effective websites are well optimized and make it easy to read, easy to navigate, and easy to take action. If it took you 30 minutes to write out the information for your website, you shouldn't expect good results. The other reason you should spend time working on your website is because it's such a low-hanging fruit. Make a few improvements and your website could jump up in search results and actually reach hundreds of times more people than it is right now. Unfortunately, there is a bit of a learning curve when it comes to websites, so you will need to do some research to be able to make improvements. That's why we've created guides and modules in courses dedicated to websites, along with our website analysis report for members. To decide if you need to work on your website or not, try answering the following questions. Which page on your website do visitors spend most time on? Where do most people find out about your website? What page on your website has the highest exit rate, which is the percentage of people who leave your website on that page? What information on your website motivates people the most to contact you? What type of potential students, for example, beginner, intermediate, or advanced, are looking at your website? If you don't know how to answer these questions, or you can't produce any answers at all, that's a clear sign that you need to work on your website. If you want to fill your lesson schedule, then you should find out the answers to these questions. If you're a Live and Teach Guitar member, you can simply email me and I'll help you put the tools in place to answer those questions, as well as take actions on the answers. The point I want to leave with you here is that your website is the easiest place to run experiments on once you have the basic tools in place, and the results I've seen from various teachers make this the prime area every teacher should focus on. As an example, one teacher I've worked with receives an inquiry about lessons on average every 5 days, which has been going on for 2 years now. Needless to say, that teacher is always booked out. That's the kind of results that are possible when you run these tests. If that teacher never started running experiments on his website, He never would have found out what motivates people to contact him the most, and he never would have made any changes on his website. So if there's only one aspect of your guitar teaching business you're going to run tests on, I highly recommend it's your website. Just to give you more ideas, here are other areas you could run tests on. The lesson materials you use, the type of exercises you give your students, your teaching style or approach, your marketing materials, your marketing methods, your branding and image, or even your teaching room. You can basically run tests or experiments on any aspect of your guitar teaching business. Now that you understand why tests are useful and what you should run tests on, I'll leave you with a basic outline on how to run effective tests. First, you need to figure out exactly what you're testing. Are you trying to test the wording of your About Me page on your website? Or are you seeing if adding a photo of yourself to that page results in more inquiries from potential students? Before you run any test or experiment, clearly decide what you're looking to achieve or find out. Second, create a control, which is a basic benchmark to compare your test results against. For the flyers example, I sent out a very basic flyer as my starting point. Then I could compare every change I made to the first basic flyer. Having this benchmark is crucial to achieving useful results. Third, change one variable at a time. Back to the flyers example, each flyer sent out only changed one aspect each time, such as the image used, the lesson cost, or offering a free lesson. That way I could see exactly which changes achieved the best results. If you change more than one thing each time, you won't be able to figure out which changes are most important. So write out each aspect you want to test and only change one at a time. The last point I'll make is to challenge your assumptions. That's where you're going to find the most benefits. If somebody tells you to offer a free first lesson, test it instead of following that advice blindly. If you personally feel that your rates are too high, for example, test it out by raising and lowering your rates and see what happens. You'll make the biggest improvements when you test your own assumptions and they turn out to be wrong. I'll close this episode by saying that as a guitar teacher, you probably never considered running tests or experiments like this before. Why go through all this work when you could simply ask on answers.com or a forum on how to find new students? The answer is that the typical advice out there is based on assumptions that have never been tested. This is a complicated topic, and if you have any questions on creating tests or you're confused on how to get started, use the contact form at liveteachguitar.com/podcast/episode-18. I highly recommend you try to run at least one test, because only when you do a test, you'll see why it's so worthwhile. Good luck, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.